Welcome to Bill with Your Friends, definitely not the first podcast featuring a discussion of pop culture and why we think you should like what we like. You should trust us, because we're librarians. I'm Anna.
I'm Aline.
Every couple of weeks, we're going to get together and chat about a pop culture topic or two, what we think and how we feel. We'll end the show with our current obsessions. This is episode number 88, Book Buzz.
We are sexy. We are great. We're the class of 88.
Oh, boy. So, that's a real thing,
because
isn't it?
It's an episode 88, and I graduated from high school in 1988, and 2 weeks ago was my 30th high school reunion. This is all about 88ing.
Also, we're going to see how fast we can get through our material, because we turned off the air conditioner just for you guys.
So that we could record without you having to listen to it going,
that's just a taste.
In the background.
Of how it usually is.
Right.
So, we had the privilege of going to both the Massachusetts Library Association Conference and the Book Expo.
I think we made reference to them in a previous episode.
We did, but just in case you're just tuning in for this episode.
Hi, welcome.
Which you might be after seeing us mentioned in Library Journal.
Oh my goodness. Thank you to Cecily Walker for mentioning us in her roundup of library-oriented podcasts
along with our BFF
podcast. We're bestsellers. If you like to refer to us together, we are the worst best friends. It's time for another crossover episode, ladies.
So if you're just tuning in, we are going to be more relevant and useful for your collection development needs for adults this episode than we usually are.
Yes. I feel like we should make a list of our libraryist episodes so that we can see.
So we're going to start out by basically going through the publishers we heard from. We went to 5 different book buzzy things over the course of MLA and BEA.
Book Expo.
I'm still going to call it BEA. Sorry, not sorry.
Book Expo rebranded. It was formerly known as Book Expo America.
Right.
So
now
that is the referencing of BEA and Book Expo. You will hear the terms used interchangeably by my fair co-host and many, many people in the streets.
I'm not sure people in the streets are out there talking about Book Expo, but it's a good place if you haven't been to meet publishers, to meet like-minded librarians, to get things signed, to get advanced copies of things.
To attend the Library Journal Day of Dialogue,
right,
for programming focused specifically at librarians with editors and authors and panels moderated by librarians. It's a worthwhile endeavor if you can arrange it, for sure.
Yeah.
As always, just a reminder, when we are talking about books and movies and music and so on, we compile copious show notes available on our WordPress site where you can track back. You can listen to this comfortably in the car and not worry about wanting to write something down, because you can scroll through our show notes and find pretty much everything we mention.
Yep. So let's get started with Norton.
Hi, Golda. Thank you.
Golda's always sending us books. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Super personalized selections. She sends you different things than she sends me, and they are usually spot on to our interests.
So, coming in September from LiveWrite, we have Ordinary People by Diana Evans, a story of two couples in South London, 2008, against the backdrop of Barack Obama's historic election victory, an intimate, immersive study of identity and parenthood, sex and grief, friendship and aging, and the fragile architecture of love. This seems like a pick for your literary fiction lovers.
It's got that domestic drama thing. I have a patron who loves what her husband refers to as dysfunctional family drama, and I am going to put this in her hands. Please note, Diana Evans is a woman of color.
Next up, we have from my personal favorite, Mary Beard, How Do We Look? The Body, the Divine, and the Question of Civilization. That's also coming out from Live Right in September. So it is a accompaniment to the two civilization segments, How Do We Look? And The Eye of Faith. And it's a discussion on how we have looked at art over the years. And it is illustrated by various things. I just turned to Angkor Wat, for example.
Perfect.
So I will read anything Mary Beard wants to write. I think this is true of many library patrons as well.
Mary Beard is amazing. If you haven't read or listened to SPQR, I highly encourage you to do so. Next up, we have Kitchen Yarns, Notes on Life, Love, and Food by Anne Hood. You might have seen Morningstar not too long ago. Anne Hood's been writing novels for a long time and suddenly has turned her hand toward essays and personal stories. I handed my mom Morningstar upon seeing her shortly after Book Expo last year, and she started reading it and didn't put it down until she was done, even though I was only visiting her for a very few days.
Are you going to give that to her when she visits?
I am going to give this to her when she visits. Set that aside. Next up, we have Joy Enough, a memoir by Sarah McCall. This is a debut work. She is writing about mothers and daughters and remaking her life in her mother's image. I have mixed feelings about that, but this is a woman whose marriage is falling apart and her mother gets a cancer diagnosis and she drops everything to go care for her. There are some content warnings to be had, and I am on a memoir kick.
Wait, a lady memoir kick, yes?
I was just gonna say, I am interested in stories of women's lives and how women deal with the lives they are dealt and change the lives that they have and build the lives that they want. I enjoy memoirs like Scrappy Little Nobody by Anna Kendrick, who is not even 30 and has written a memoir of her life in the spotlight. And I enjoy memoirs of women. Tig by Tig Notaro was really great. And there was a memoir panel at Day of Dialogue that just kind of grabbed me by the throat and shook me around a little bit. So I will be reading this, and I will be reading some other things, and this is coming out in January 2018 from Live Right. I forgot to tell you that Anne Hood's Kitchen Yarns is coming from Norton in December 2018.
And last on our Norton list, after Emily, two remarkable women in the legacy of America's greatest poet. I like that assertion. Take
we
that,
live
Walt Whitman fans.
Near Emily Dickinson.
We do. I think, especially for our patrons, this will be a good bet. It is the untold story of the extraordinary mother and daughter who brought Emily Dickinson's genius to light, Mabel Loomis Todd and her daughter Millicent Todd Bingham.
Which is cool. And, you know, if you visit us, it is possible that we can go visit Emily if we have time. Because, like we said, we live nearby. It happened to one of our friends. It could happen to you.
Right? So, it uses letters and diaries, and it focuses on women's story, and I appreciate all of that. Next up, we have
Simon & Schuster.
Simon & Schuster, who send us boxes of books on the regular. Thank you, Simon & Schuster. First up, The Library Book by Susan Orlean, author of The Orchid Thief and Rin Tin Tin. Coming in October.
I heard someone talking about her at Library Journal Day of Dialogue, where she was on a panel. She was standing in line for the restroom, and someone was like, I was talking to this person next to me, and she said, I'm Sue! And it was Susan Orlean! So it was very exciting to have this experience. This is something that happens when we're at Day of Dialogue or at Book Expo. Sometimes we're at these panels and we start talking to someone and we don't realize that they are a famous author. Because you know what?
Authors are people, too.
Authors are people. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for seeing your cue there. Sorry. Carry on with the library book.
She is digging into what libraries are and what libraries do using the 1986 fire at the Los Angeles Public Library as a big part of the story. and talking about the crucial role that libraries play in our lives and the evolution of libraries across the country and around the world. I'm pretty sure this is something that librarians will be buying, because there's nothing librarians love more than books about libraries. You don't really need to say anymore.
Next up is A Dream Called Home, a memoir by Reina Grande. This is the follow-up to The Distance Between Us by Reina Grande.
She's not following up someone else's memoir?
She's not.
She was on the memoir panel, and she said that people kept contacting her and asking her what happened next.
Yeah.
So she wrote a follow-up.
And so the first one is about her walking across the border as a 9-year-old, and this is the account of her quest to find her place in America as a first-generation Latina university student and aspiring writer. And she was really compelling. Her story is really compelling. She speaks very movingly of her experience and her life and the work she's done, and she comes at it with a very positive outlook. She is very happy to have done the things she's done. She looks back on her experiences with a positive light, and it was a really great talk to hear from her. Add this to your collections, particularly if you have The Distance Between Us, or buy both of them.
Yeah, right?
If you don't have them in your collections.
Next up is a very exciting debut.
Super exciting!
For those of us who have been looking for diverse fantasy titles, Trail of Lightning by Rebecca Roanhorse. It's out already from Saga Press. It's book one of the Six Worlds series about a Dine Ta monster hunter. So it's a post-apocalyptic where most of the world has been drowned, and what is formerly the Navajo Reservation is now a large and thriving nation again. And so she's a monster hunter. I've read the first couple of chapters, and it is gritty.
What kind of monsters is she hunting?
You'll have to read it and find out. Supernatural monsters.
Okay.
Anyway, and the cover is kick butt.
It is. It's an amazing cover. I cannot wait for the Netflix series adaptation of this.
Sounds great.
Please note, I don't have verification of it being sold to Netflix. It just looks like it's going to be really good. Next up, we have The Clockmaker's Daughter by Kate Morton, which is a beefy tome with a beautiful cover. It is an epic story going from the summer of 1862 to the approximate present. It's the story of a love affair and a mysterious murder that cast their shadow across generations.
I like that there's an archivist who uncovers a leather satchel containing two seemingly unrelated items, a sepia photograph of an arresting-looking woman in Victorian clothing, and an artist's sketchbook containing the drawing of a twin-gabled house on the bend of a river. I mean, I would like to discover a satchel with two seemingly unrelated items.
We have about 30,000 publisher tote bags in our house, many of which have one or two seemingly unrelated items nestled in the bottom of them.
Yes.
So, if you want to come visit us,
we can set you up with some kind of discovery thing.
And it may inspire your novel. The Clockmaker's Daughter is coming from Atria in October 2018. Following that, we have An Easy Death by Charlaine Harris. We met Charlaine Harris at Book Expo in a signing line for her graphic novel, which we will talk about later, and she was just charming as heck. And An Easy Death is first in a new series about a character known as Gunny Rose. Her name is Lizbeth Rose, but she is a gunslinger. And it is set in a fractured United States in the southwestern country known as Texoma. I think that it's futury fantasy. And again, the cover, not unlike Trail of Lightning, has a kick-butt lady standing among crackling lightning. This one's holding guns in both hands, where on Trail of Lightning, she is holding
a gun and a sword.
Yeah. So that you can tell them apart. Two guns, Gunny Rose. Gun and sword. lady on Trail of Lightning. I don't know the character's name.
Maggie
Husky.
There you go.
An Easy Death is coming from Saga Press in October 2018.
Okay. American Like Me, Reflections on Life Between Cultures, coming in September from America Ferrera. A collection of first-person accounts from prominent figures about the experience of growing up between cultures. 31 of her friends, peers, and heroes. I'm sure this is going to be a good collection to have on your shelves. Also, a good library buy, Gender, Your Guide by Lee Ayrton, coming in October. A guide to understanding and engaging in today's gender conversation. The days of two genders are over, if they ever existed at all, is the opening gambit. So, we all want to say the right things in relation to gender diversity, but where do we begin? From the differences among gender identity, gender expression, and sex, to the use of gender-neutral pronouns like singular, they, them, to thinking about your own participation in gender, Gender Your Guide serves as a complete primer to all things gender. So that sounds like a good collection addition.
Also coming from Simon & Schuster in September 2018, Gallery Books, Eliza Hamilton, The Extraordinary Life and Times of the Wife of Alexander Hamilton by Tilar J. Matzeo. There was a lot that she did in the 50 years she was a widow, in addition to being Alexander Hamilton's wife for more than 20 years, and this book begins to scratch the surface of it. You will already have a bunch of Eliza Hamilton fiction and nonfiction. You will have Alexander Hamilton fiction and nonfiction for all ages. It is a market that people are going to continue to be interested in from now on, mm-hmm. thanks to Lin-Manuel Miranda's brilliant work. And we are grateful, because knowing where the country came from might help us understand where the country's going. Another coming from Simon & Schuster is Josephine Baker's Last Dance by Sherry Jones. It's a novel coming in December from Galley Books, and it's a fictionalization of a real life, which is one of those things that some of us really enjoy, because I want conversations and I want there to be interesting behind-the-scenes things that might not be on the record. I learn all of my history from historical fiction, as I believe I have said before, so this is the sort of thing that is right up my alley. We don't have a pile of books, but we do have a handout from New York Review Books. If you don't get email from them, you should go to their website and sign up for their newsletter, because they get a lot of interesting stuff, and they publish these gorgeous, gorgeous reprints of things in translation or things that have been long out of print. They just recently celebrated the publication of their 500th title, and there were some interesting things on their social media account indicating them. I'm looking at this handout to see if there's something that I need specifically for my library or that you need. And I'm going to go with Ivory Pearl by Jean-Patrick Manchette. Many French critics consider this book, published posthumously and unfinished, to be legendary crime writer Manchette's masterpiece. So if you don't know about crime fiction, usually crime fiction is resolved at the very end. And so having this be published unfinished means there's going to be a lot to think about and a lot for your really literary patrons to chew on.
Oh, New York Review Books.
Oh, next up is HarperCollins, our friends at Library Love Fest. They do another newsletter that you should definitely be subscribing to, and you should watch their Facebook Live things that they do. They are hilarious. They set up Facebook Live to talk to a room of librarians at the Massachusetts Library Association conference, or they made their regular Facebook Live session coincide with this session.
It was great.
They are really good at talking up the things that are coming out from their house, and they are charming people, and we enjoy them very much. Coming soon in October from Harper, Barbara Kingsolver. You know that your readers love her. She is coming out with Unsheltered, which has a beautiful cover with a beautiful flower and some bugs. So if you don't like bugs, that's an issue. This does not have a description of the book on the cover of the book, although she wrote an adorable Dear Reader letter in the front of it.
Do you want to?
You should read.
Do you want to tell them what she said at the dinner we saw her?
She spoke at the Library Reads dinner that we attended, which is at the end of Library Journal Day of Dialogue. There is an event where amazing authors talk about their upcoming books, and these are, like, marquee authors. Walter Mosley was there, Barbara Kingsolver was there, there were a couple of...
Charlene Harris was there,
there was at least one debut author who was really moving, and Barbara Kingsolver told us the story of being in her town library and doing research for, I think it was the one set in Africa...
The Poisonwood Bible.
Thank you. Where she was using this book and she needed this book and it was a reference book and it was an obscure reference book that she just needed to take home for a week to use, and the librarian she was working with made it happen, and she is grateful to that librarian for making the Poisonwood Bible happen, because it wouldn't have happened otherwise. And the message that she was giving was, if you can make something happen for one of your patrons, go for it, because you never know whose life you're changing or what book you're facilitating. And I am tired of reference collections, so I was very for it. So Unsheltered is coming...
in October. So it's a story about a woman in Vineland, New Jersey, I think? Yes. Who is investigating the history of her house and discovers a kindred spirit in the 1930s named Thatcher Greenwood, who has friendships with a brilliant woman scientist and a renegade newspaper editor, which draws him into a vendetta with the town's most powerful men. So it's the story of two families in two centuries who live at the corner of Sixth and Plum.
It's a good one for fans of the Secret History of the Pink Carnation series, which has a contemporary story and historical stories, or Possession by A.S. Byatt, where you have these sort of parallel things going on that aren't parallel, but they're related in one century or the next. So it's going to be great for those, and it's Barbara Kingsolver.
My head of collection development in my library already read it and says it's going to be hot, hot, hot.
So, how you feeling? Hot, hot, hot.
Exactly.
Next, our friend and yours, Sarah McLean, has Wicked and the Wallflower coming.
No, it's out already, I think.
Wicked and the Wallflower is out already. Oh, this is a finished copy. Did she sign it? She signed it for the house, because it was for our household, because we got to say hi to her. I forgot about that.
She saw us and she said, oh, it's the Northampton Library.
Sarah McLean graduated from Smith College, which is across the road from my library, and she is involved in the redesign of their library, and she's great. What I like about Wicked and the Wallflower, right here on this cover, is this woman staring directly at the reader. She's got her dress hiked up above her knees, and there is no dude to be found on this cover. She is just here owning herself. And, you know, the step back does have her owning a dude with no shirt on as well, but the cover doesn't. This is first in the Bare Knuckle Bastards series. If you know Sarah, you know she writes 3 or 4 book series that are related, so this is where you're going to get to know all of the people that you are going to be following in the next few books.
Apparently he has to turn the plain little mouse into an irresistible temptress.
Yeah.
So it's a makeover story.
Yeah. Of Lady Felicity Faircloth.
Okay.
And he finds his way into her bedchamber somehow. Anyway, Sarah writes enjoyable books with some saucy bits and some sometimes improbable obstacles.
There was not a lot in terms of romance, so we'll take all the romance we can get.
Right. We love Avon Books, an imprint of HarperCollins. We love them. And we read them, and we buy them, and we don't see them promoted as much as we'd like.
Right. Okay, next up, If You Leave Me by Crystal Hannah Kim. I believe it's a debut.
It is. It's an emotionally riveting debut.
Ah, perfect. About the aftermath of the Korean War and a family... I'm just listening to her talk on the panel that she was on, I think Historical Fiction, Is that the one?
I think so.
Ill-fated lovers and the heartbreaking choices they're forced to make in the years surrounding the Civil War that still haunts us. So, this is a beautiful cover again, and it's going to be, I think, a popular title. Roll Away by Elizabeth McCracken is set in an unconventional New England family who own and operate a candlepin bowling alley. So that's all I need to know. I'm all set.
I just hope that they have chili cheese fries at their bowling alley.
So here you go. From the day she's discovered unconscious in a New England cemetery at the turn of the 20th century, nothing but a bowling ball, a candlepin, and 15 pounds of gold on her person, Bertha Truitt is an enigma to everyone in Salford, Massachusetts.
Does she use the 15 pounds of gold to build her bowling alley? Did they have candlepin bowling alleys at the turn of the century? Only you can answer these questions by reading Bowl Away.
Right? Looking forward to it.
Coming in September from William Morrow is Cross Her Heart by Sarah Pinborough. And if you read Behind Her Eyes or listened to Behind Her Eyes, you are going to want to read or listen to Cross Her Heart. This one, Sarah Pinborough, oh my gosh, I can't. She's twisty and thrillery. And, you know, for your fans of Gone Girl, but don't. These thrillers with women in them as the central and possibly main or worst or best characters are great. And I have been reading a few of them, and they're, yeah. Get your hands on Cross Her Heart. Add it to your Girl Who playlists and displays.
A Marilla of Green Gables, coming in October from Sarah McCoy. This is the Anne of Green Gables prequel that we didn't know we were waiting for. But we are. Plucky and ambitious, Marilla Cuthbert is 13 years old when her world is turned upside down. Her mother dies in childbirth, and she must bear the responsibilities of farm wife, cooking, sewing, keeping house, and overseeing the day-to-day life of Green Gables with her brother, Matthew, and father. So, you want more Green Gables action? You want to know about her budding romance with John Blythe?
Wait a minute!
Right, remember? There was a thing that they had a long time before. Anyway, so yeah, Marilla of Green Gables. Family Trust by Kathy Wong is coming in October 2018. I.e. a couple months from now. Stanley is a father, husband, ex-husband, man of unpredictable tastes and temper, aficionado of all-inclusive vacations and bargain luxury goods, newly diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
Ugh.
So this is the story of when the details of his estate are revealed and the way that his family reacts to the inheritance. So we've got a cast of family characters, his first wife, his son, his daughter, his second wife. What is it that they expect, and what should they actually value? Another one that was super hot when I heard about it, We Fed an Island, The True Story of Rebuilding Puerto Rico One Meal at a Time by Jose Andres, coming in September from the Anthony Bourdain / Echo imprint. R.I.P. Anthony. The true story of how a group of chefs fed hundreds of thousands of hungry Americans after Hurricane Maria and touched the hearts of many more. I tweeted a blurb of this book when we were at MLA, and it got more than 100 likes and retweets and interactions, maybe 200 on Twitter, because people really want to hear this story.
Next, not next, also coming from HarperCollins in September, The Tattooist of Auschwitz by Heather Morris. It is a novel, again, historical fiction novel. This is my game, bailiwick, wheelhouse, catnip, whatever you want to call it. It's based on interviews that were conducted with Holocaust survivor in Auschwitz-Birkenau tattooist Ludwig Lael Sokolov. So it is a novel based on this guy's stories of being the tattooist of Auschwitz, and there is a lot of interest. There are a lot of readers out there. Get this for them. And my exciting favorite, last but not least, last and possibly greatest, is The Adventures of Barry and Joe, based on Barry and Joe, the animated series, by Adam Reed, coming in February of 2019. The Barry and Joe of the title are our beloved first dads, Barack and Joe. And I cannot wait to see them kicking butt and taking names in a Starsky and Hutch kind of setup, is what it looks like. So get yourself ready for that fun and games.
I don't think I can be ready.
You can't. You can't be ready. Every time we hear from Harlequin at a book buzz, we are so excited for the potential of hearing about romances, and we never have that excitement met with its tales of romances. We appreciate that Harlequin is publishing. Harlequin was bought by HarperCollins not too terribly long ago, and they continue to publish romances in their imprint. You will find Robin Carr published by them, I believe, among others. What they were talking about at Book Expo were Under My Skin by Lisa Unger, coming from Park Row Books in October 2018. If you don't read Lisa Unger, you should. She is a classic mystery thriller writer, American lady, who in this one, it's been a year since Poppy's husband Jack was brutally murdered during his morning run through Manhattan's Riverside Park. I like books set in New York. I like murder mysteries. I was surprised at the quantity of books we heard about at Book Expo and Massachusetts Library Association and Day of Dialogue that all seemed to be kicked off by the tragic widowing of a plucky woman. So,
I mean, that's been true for a while now.
It really has been true for a while. And it's a lot of stories start with a catalytic event, and the tragic widowing of a plucky woman is certainly a catalytic event. So look for that.
The Lost Letters of William Wolfe by Helen Cullen is coming in October from Graydon House. Basically, there's a lost letter factory where letter detectives work on figuring out where they're supposed to be going.
Really? That sounds cool.
Yes. And letter detective William Wolfe discovers letters addressed to My Great Love.
Who's his great love?
Written by a woman to the soulmate she hasn't met yet. The missives capture William's heart in ways he didn't know possible, and he must embark on a journey to solve what may be the most important mystery to come his way.
Oh my gosh!
Right? I love letter writing. Okay, and this one is specifically for Renata. I'll Be There for You, the one about friends, by Kelsey Miller. It's coming in October from Hanover Square Press. The definitive retrospective of Friends, which incorporates interviews, history, and behind-the-scenes anecdotes to offer a critical analysis of how a sitcom about 620-somethings changed television forever.
And this one is just for us and for a whole lot of our followers. Coming in November 2018 from Hanover Square, The Secret Language of Cats, How to Understand Your Cat for a Better, Happier Relationship by Suzanne Schatz. Look for that. It's got an adorable kitten on the cover, and this is Suzanne Schatz is apparently the leading authority on the science of feline communication. And she's explaining how you can understand what your cat is trying to tell you and how you can talk back. If you have not visited us, the theme of today's episode is visiting us. You will hear Anna talk to our cats, and you will hear Tosca talk back all the time, repeatedly. They have long, ongoing conversations. Moving on to Workman. Hi, Workman. Hi, Annie. Sometimes Annie listens to our BookBuzz episode, and then she talks about us later, so I will try to give her some content. First up is Burning Down the House. Punk rock.
H-A-U-S.
Burning Down the House, H-A-U-S, Punk Rock, Revolution, and the Fall of the Berlin Wall by Tim Moore. Tim Moore was a DJ in Berlin, and that's cool. And he was there for this interval. This is an oral history, kind of personal situation collection of essays talking about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Sorry, I can't
we
not
for these
say
ideals,
that.
We shouldn't settle for less.
These are wise words, enterprising men quote them.
I'm going to act surprised, you guys.
Okay,
sorry.
Moving on. Book Buzz episode devolves into a sing-along of Hamilton.
Moving on, handmade houseplants, remarkably realistic plants you can make with paper.
I'm still talking about burning down the house. When I started hearing about this book and I saw the guy who wrote it talking about it, I was like, I have to give that to my coworker. And I haven't given it to him yet because I haven't finished this Book Buzz episode. And he has been eagerly awaiting it, and now he's on vacation, so he has to wait even longer. But this is a view of youth culture in Germany for the last nearly 40 years. So, get it for your punks, get it for your hipsters, get it for your music historians.
There's a They Might Be Giants song called Youth Culture Killed My Dog.
Great.
And I don't think it's fair.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Handmade Houseplants, Remarkably Realistic Plants You Can Make with Paper by Corey Beth Hogg, photos by Christine Hahn, coming in September from Timber Press. A lot of us have trouble keeping plants alive. But if you make them out of paper...
you don't have to worry about their lives.
You can just... make them out of paper, and then the cat will gnaw on them, and they'll maybe have a few holes in them, but you won't have to worry about them dying because you forgot to water them.
And you can make them any color you want.
Right, or because they were succulents and you left them on the back porch too long and they liquefied in the cold. Not that that's ever happened to me.
Of course not.
The Museum of Modern Love by Heather Rose, coming from Algonquin in November, is a novel based on a work of performance art. I don't know if you remember that Marina Abramović had a performance art piece at MoMA where you could sit across the table from her.
Yes!
I was there, and I saw people, like, lining up and sitting across the table from her. And so I'm interested in this book, which has this performance art piece as its central idea. So, the main character has unexpectedly separated from his wife and stumbles upon an art exhibit that changes his life because he goes back every day and bonds with other people drawn to the exhibit, understanding eventually what might be missing in his life and what he must do.
Also coming in October 2018 is The Collector's Apprentice by B.A. Shapiro. She has written beautifully researched historical fiction that is very arty. She wrote The Art Forger and The Muralist, and this one is focusing on the art world in 1920s Paris and inspired by the Barnes Foundation in Philadelphia. You have fans of B.A. Shapiro in your readership. They will want to read this one. Don't forget to pick it up. 1,000 Books to Read Before You Die, A Life-Changing List by James Mustich. You have probably seen the 1,000 movies to see before you die, 1,000 places to see before you die. This is in that format. It's a chunky little book with 1,000 little approximately single page coverage of individual books. I am a huge fan of this kind of check off everything that you've accomplished. I have a promotional pamphlet of the book that's got some of these sample essays, and it includes the full 1,000 book list in very tiny type where you can go through and check things off. It has supplemental lists like Read in a Sitting, 12 Books to Read Before You're 12, Mind Expanding. I gotta tell you, ever since I came across the Lifetime Reading Plan by Clifton Fadiman, which he put together in the 50s, which is all white and all classic, if you know Clifton Fadiman at all, I have been obsessed with this sort of thing. And this was when I was a child. My mom is a list maker. She kind of is obsessed with these things too. But looking at these lists of things that somebody thinks I ought to do is so interesting to me in terms of the arguments that I have with it and the possible expansion that it can provide me. The 1,000 Places to See Before You Die was definitely something that I went through. It was like, I can just sort of like ignore Antarctica because I am not interested. But I am super, super interested in these other parts of the country, and these are things of the world. These are things that I've seen. These are things that I skipped when I was there, so it seems like I probably won't be going back. This is an interesting group. Here's my request. I want someone to do the stats on men, women, people of color, things that were written in English originally.
I think you, versus that sounds not. Like you're volunteering.
I'm not volunteering. Does anyone have an intern? We got the poster of this from Annie. Thank you so much. And we are trying to decide if we're going to give Anna's dad the list or the poster, because it seems like something that might amuse him.
Whew. Okay. Moving on to our friends at Macmillan. We have Trust Me by Hank Phillippe Ryan coming in August from Forge. We met her at, well, we met her last year at MLA, but we met her more this year at MLA.
And we're because Talia was there to say, this is Anna and Aline, and they're cool. So thank you, Talia. So hi, Hank.
We were charmed by her and her buttons that say, Trust Me, I'm a librarian. If you send us a message when you listen to this podcast, we may still have some Trust Me, I'm a Librarian buttons to give away. First come, first serve.
Probably best to tweet at us. That's where we get messages most.
Yep.
Oh, I'm supposed to be talking about this.
Yep.
I love this this blurb. Can you spot the liar? An accused killer insists she's innocent of a heinous murder. A grieving journalist surfaces from the wreckage of her shattered life. I wonder if she was tragically widowed. Their unlikely alliance leads to a dangerous cat and mouse game that will leave you breathless.
That's my favorite kind of cat and mouse game.
Who can you trust when you can't trust yourself? So it's standalone. Hank has written some series. It is chilling. It's psychological suspense. She is a longtime investigative journalist, prize-winning, Emmy-winning, impeccably coiffed, groomed, and dressed, and charming as all get out. So if you haven't read her before, definitely dip your toe in with this one. I love reading a standalone by someone who has a great career of brilliant writing, because it can be the culmination of all the things they've been doing till that point. So this is a good one to try. Your patrons will want it.
So I went to a table at the very end of Book Expo where they said that they would match you up with a book if you told them what you liked. So I went up to the table, and there were these two nice young women.
As reader's advisors, we cannot pass up an opportunity to be reader's advised.
We were out. We were off the show floor.
We were done. We were headed home.
And so I turned around, and I went back to them, and I said, I like romance, I like fantasy, I like sci-fi. And they handed me one that was like a YA with a guy and a girl and post-apocalyptic, and I said, maybe I should have said, I also am super gay. And so they were like, well, wait a minute. And so they went back into
How could they not tell?
They went back into their box, and they handed me Blanca and Roja by Anna Marie McLemore from Fowl and Friends in October is when it's coming out. So Blanca and Roja is a fairy tale retelling, presumably. Blanca is obedient and graceful, and Roja is vicious and manipulative.
Ooh.
Because of a generations old spell, their family is bound to a bevy of swans deep in the woods. One day, the swans will pull them into a dangerous game that will leave one of them a girl and trap the other in a body of a swan. So then Aline went back.
Yeah, after Anna had this experience, I was like, I want to do it, I want to do it, I want to do it. And so I went over, and I was like, I like romance, and I like realism, and I like things that are gay. And by the time I got there, there was just one young woman there, and she tried to hand me Blanca and Roja, and I was like, great, good match. You just gave this to my girlfriend. Do you have something different? And she was like, well, and she like looked under the table, and she stood up holding Check Please Book One hashtag hockey !! And I just about peed my pants. I was so excited because friends of the podcast, Calzone and Helen's Twin, are fans of Check Please. It was a webcomic known as Oh My God, Check Please by...
It's ongoing.
By Ngozi Ukazu. This is book one. Book two is going to be coming after she has finished writing it and posting it. It is... She is a woman of color writer. Yay. It is about a figure skater who is recruited to play hockey for this tiny college and his adventures...
In New England.
And his adventures...
He's a southern figure skater.
Right. He's a southern boy figure skater. But he, like, knows his way around a pair of skates. And it's about his playing hockey for this tiny team in this tiny college in this tiny town. And everyone is so sweet and adorable. And... Oh my God. So I had heard about the webcomic and I knew about the webcomic and I knew that I would love it, but reading a webcomic is a challenge for me. And so having someone dump this book in my lap like this made me read it, and I read it in like 10 minutes. Oh my God, I love this so much. Do you have something articulate to say about it, Anna?
No, I read it while I was homesick one day, and then when you got home, I was like, you read this right now.
Right, we're not having dinner until you read this.
So it is on sale in September, coming from First Second, which is a Macmillan imprint. And this proof copy that we have is full color. It's super nice. But don't worry, I have already pre-ordered a copy of the actual book from our local comic book store.
Oh my goodness. So exciting. Also on the Macmillan list is...
The Stars Now Unclaimed, the first volume of the Universe After series by Drew Williams, coming in August from Tor. There is a Think Big Guns, Smugglers, Epic Space Battles, and a Telekinetic Girl with All the Gift. Okay. I mean, I don't know much about this, but I know that I'm probably going to like it. It's from Tor. it's got ladies in space, and it's from Tor. It's on my list.
Coming in February 2019 from Celadon Books, an imprint of Macmillan, The Silent Patient by Alex Michaelides. It is called The Perfect Thriller by A.J. Finn, the author of Woman in the Window. It's a debut novel. It is the shocking psychological thriller of a woman's act of violence against her husband and the therapist obsessed with uncovering her motive. So we heard about this more than once, like in a book buzz and in an editor's pick panel. And one night her husband comes home late from a fashion shoot. They live in London. They're very fancy. So her husband comes home late. She shoots him 5 times in the face and never speaks another word. So again, kicking off with a tragic widowing, even though she widowed herself. So this is told through the lens of the criminal psychotherapist who is trying to like work with her and figure out what's going on. And it sounds like it's going to also go on your Girl Who displays.
It does sound like that. We had the privilege of meeting MC Beaton, a.k.a. Marion Chesney. She was part of the panels at Day of Dialogue, and we got a copy of her second-to-last Agatha Raisin signed, The Witch's Tree. She was there to talk about The Dead Ringer, but if you have not read MC Beaton, you are missing out on some cozy English set mystery action.
Scotland for Hamish Macbeth, the Lake District for Agatha Raisin, and all over England for her various Regency romances that I have been reading for most of my life.
So we were in line to see her, and then we mentioned that we like Marion Chesney, and she said, well, there may be an adaptation in the works for the BBC of some of her Regency material.
Which
was very exciting.
Is unbelievably exciting. My mom bought the Six Sisters series for the young adult collection in her library when I was at the precise moment of needing to read them. I had already been reading Saucy Harlequins, so it wasn't just the romance thing. It was the historical setting. The first one is Minerva, and the second is The Taming of Annabelle, and the plots of these squeaky clean Regency romances continue to inform my behavior to the day.
I should reread them, maybe.
Yeah, maybe we should reread them together. There was like a house for the season, the six sisters. There were a couple of them.
There are many, many Marion Chesney audiobooks available on Hoopla.
And I encourage you to run, don't walk, to get them. And she was charming as heck. She has been around a long time and has written a whole lot of books and was very pleasant to the teeming hordes around her. So thank you so much for bringing her to us, Talia. And that's all.
Next up, For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Politics by Donna Brazile, Yolanda Caraway, Lee Daughtry, and Minion Moore with Veronica Chambers. Coming in October, the four most powerful African-American women in politics share the story of their friendship and how it has changed politics in America. This is a book that could not be more relevant to our times. I don't know if you saw the article about the town in Georgia that is all of the positions of power are held by Black women.
Yes.
But basically, I think that you should read that article in this book.
Related, Invisible, the Forgotten Story of the Black Woman Lawyer Who Took Down America's Most Powerful Mobster by Stephen L. Carter, coming in October from Henry Holt and Company. Stephen Carter is delving into the story of his grandmother's extraordinary life. Eunice Hunton Carter was raised in a world of stultifying expectations about race and gender, yet by the 1940s, her professional and political successes had made her one of the most famous Black women in America. Yay, her! She never accepted defeat, and now her long-forgotten story is once again visible. She was a graduate of Smith College.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've heard them and, about them.
Without the strategy she devised, Lucky Luciano, the most powerful mafia boss in history, would never have been convicted. She was on a team of 20 lawyers. She was the only member who was not a white male. And
wow,
it was her strategy that brought down the crime boss. So there you go. Favorite of my heart, coming in October from Farrar, Straus, and Giroux, The Raven Master, My Life with the Ravens at the Tower of London by Christopher Skyfe. I got to take the tour given by him, and I started when I was in London 6 years ago, and they wear these adorable outfits. They commune with these ravens. You already know that corvids are brilliant, and you don't want to make them mad. If you follow this guy on Twitter, they're great. There are these pictures of them, the tower guards. There is a raven master among them who is this guy, and then there are the other guys that give the tours of the tower, and they're great. They're so cool. They are hilarious, and there are stories about them that go through the history of the Tower of London, which is where Anne Boleyn was beheaded, if you don't know, and it's where one woman...
Don't you mean... Heads up, that's where Anne Boleyn was.
Heads up. When I was there in 2012, so it was 6 years ago, yeah, 2012, I was in London, Tower of London, took the tour because I refused to stand in line when I had been in London a dozen years before then. I was like, I don't stand in line. But I was like, I'm going to go there first thing. I want to do the Tower of London tour. And as I was going through the Tower of London tour, I was remembering all of the stories that I had read about the Tower of London in a little book that I got from the Scholastic Book Order when I was in elementary school. Yep. And I was like...
Wait, Scholastic was still doing it that long ago?
That long ago. As hard as it may be for you to believe. We would get the little... It was on newsprint, and I didn't buy very many books from it because, of course, my mom was a librarian, right. And she would be like, what do you want? I'll bring it home.
Yeah. Hey, that's what I do.
But I remember reading this and reading all of these wild stories of the Tower of London, and I kept... sort of telling the person next to me on the tour the story right before he would tell it. And I was like, oh, and that's the place where this thing happened? And they were like, okay. And then the guy would tell the story. And I'm like, see? So I am a fan of the Tower of London and the Yeoman Warders and the Raven Master in particular. And please follow them on Twitter and buy this book so that you and your patrons can be annoying when you go on the tour of the Tower of London yourselves. Also coming is The Other Woman by Sandy Jones. It's coming out in August, so you can get your hands on it. The tagline is, "He loves me, she loves me not." And you can put this on your girl who displays. It's a thriller, it's a domestic drama, and don't you take my punchline. A woman meets this perfect man, she falls in love with him, she's gonna get married, and then she meets his mom, and the other woman is her mother-in-law.
Dun dun dun.
Some people might find relatable.
Okay, moving on to Bloomsbury. One Person, No Vote: How Voter Suppression is Destroying Our Democracy by Carol Anderson. She is the author of White Rage, which is an essential book for white people to be reading. And this is a book that's going to tell us what is happening. You know, there's a white liberal thought that, oh, we can fix this by electing the right people. But you know what? This system is rigged so that people who want to change the system can't vote. So this is going to be an essential book, especially as the midterm elections come up. The Priory of the Orange Tree by Samantha Shannon is coming in February. Samantha Shannon is the author of The Bone Season and the, like, 8 books that are supposed to follow it. But this is a standalone. It was described to me as a princess and a knight who is a lady who end up together, I think. So, I don't need to know anymore. I'm good. But it's an epic high fantasy about a world at the brink of war with dragons and the women who must lead the fight to save it. Great.
Sold.
Sign me up. I also picked up a YA when I was hovering around Bloomsbury called The Girl King by Mimi Yu. It's coming in January. Asian-inspired fantasy for fans of Renee Adier and Saba Tahir. Great. Again, okay. Sign me up. Sisters Lu and Min have always known their places as the princesses of the Empire of the First Flame. The eldest will be named her father's heir, and timid Min will lead a quiet life in her shadow. But then their father names their male cousin the heir instead. So they are determined to make sure that he doesn't end up ruling the country. Right? Can you imagine? I can imagine.
Well, we've read it in romance novels, right, where the cousin is going to come and inherit,
right,
the,
exactly,
entailed estate. Yeah.
The one who is supposed to get the throne is in rebellion, and then the quiet sister's hidden power awakens. So then you have 3 people who want the throne. So I'm looking forward to this battle.
Also coming from Bloomsbury in November 2018... A Shot in the Dark by Lynn Truss. You know her of Eats, Shoots, and Leaves fame. So somebody who writes humorously about grammar is a good candidate to write a series
of mysteries
set in what looks like the 20s. It says a Constable Twitten mystery, and I heard more description of it, and I don't have more at the tip of my tongue, but it's got a very nice cover, and it looks like it's going to be an enjoyable read. So look for that in November.
Okay, we're going to take a break here until our next episode, because we have a lot more content to bring you, and we would like to keep this a reasonable length. So, Aline, do you have any musical obsessions?
I have about a dozen Spotify playlists that are serving as a collective musical obsession. Some of you may know that the national summer reading theme is libraries rock, and we have art and we have themes, and summer reading at my library this summer is including staff pick Spotify playlists, where we created a library account and we've got playlists like Aline Rocks, and I put a bunch of summer tunes on it, and Josh Rocks, and Jill did a 1993 playlist, and she did an 80s playlist, and Dylan did a preschool dance party playlist. So there are a lot, and I'll link them in the show notes because I'm obsessed with all of them, and I'm obsessed with tweeting about them from the library account and getting them out there and possibly continuing to move forward with Spotify playlists that are new releases at the library in the last 3 months and moving forward with this kind of cross-promotion.
Yes, and speaking of which, our musical obsessions that aren't other Spotify playlists will be on our Spotify playlist, which we link to periodically. My musical obsession is the song I woke up with this morning, Float On by Modest Mouse, and it has a very notable guitar in it, and that's what was in my head. I don't know why.
Guitar noodling?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh boy. We have a shared regular obsession this episode. If you have not seen Killing Eve,
well,
then you have to wait until it shows up on Hulu in the fall. It was a BBC series starring
BBC America.
BBC America series starring Sandra Oh, who is American, set in London. She works for some numbered MI. And there is an assassin.
Protection, yeah.
She does protection and security.
But she's obsessed with serial killers.
Yeah, and she's interested in an assassin who has recently come to the fore and is active in many countries. And it is the tale of her and her boss and the politics of MI, whatever numbers. And it has lots of strong female characters and lots of ill-lit dramatic scenery in London and elsewhere.
It has.
And Sandra Oh's hair deserves its own credit.
An Emmy for Sandra Oh's hair.
Yes.
So what is most notable to me is the obsession / sexual tension between Eve, who is Sandra Oh, and Villanelle, who is
the assassin.
Because you have not mentioned that it's a lady assassin.
I said it was all ladies.
Okay.
It is a lady assassin.
So you get both of their points of view, and they have various moments where they are, I don't call it hanging out together, but they are spending time in each other's space without actively trying to kill each other for a little while in multiple episodes. And the interplay between them is so interesting, and it's so unusual to see on television, and we just ripped through it, and I would totally watch it again now that I've seen where it goes. I know that they've already renewed it for a second season, so I look forward to that.
Can't wait. You may have heard people talking about it. I had a coworker talking about it, and then we were like, oh, let's see if we can dip our toe in, and we were able to get it on the internet because of our cable subscription, but as we were watching it,
it was like 3 days left.
Yes, so we had to knuckle down and watch all of it.
Oh,
and so
it was terrible.
But we got it watched before it went away. We do know that it is going to be on Hulu in the fall, but I don't know the date. So add it to your calendar. Save the date.
Killing Eve.
Thanks for listening.
You can find us on Twitter at Bellwether Friends. BellwetherFrnds. You can find us on Facebook. We have been tumbling. We're everywhere. You don't expect us to be. If you want, you can look us up on iTunes and leave us a review. I'm Anna, and you can find me online at Helga Grace, HelgaGrace.
I'm Aline, and you can find me on Twitter at Surly Spice, SurlySpice.
Our In and Out music was provided by Julie Jurgens. You can find her on Twitter at Hi Miss Julie, HimissJulie. Bye.